Hey folks, welcome back to Boiler Up Down South. It's your boy Drew here. I'm joined once again by my bud Garrett Shearman, and we are here to discuss week 3 Purdue football, the Boilermakers against the Orange on Saturday night under the lights in West Lafayette. Purdue's coming in looking to get to 2-1 after a big win over Virginia Tech on the road. They're also looking for a little revenge after, let's say, a controversial end to last year's Syracuse game. And so we're going to talk a little offense, a little defense, maybe talk a little about some injury issues from Syracuse, and try to get y'all to know what to expect from the game on Saturday. So we're going to go ahead. We'd like to get this commercial break out of the way early. Appreciate y'all hanging in with us and listening to our sponsors. All right, back from the break, and I'm ready to jump straight into the Syracuse offense. If you've taken a look on Hammer and Rails at my offensive preview for Syracuse, you'll know this offense is all about the quarterback. Garrett Schrader's coming in as a fifth-year senior. This is his third year as a starter at Syracuse, and the offense is really geared around him. The new offensive coordinator at Syracuse this year was his quarterback coach last year, so he knows what Schrader likes, what he doesn't like, and this team will go as far as Garrett Schrader can lead them, which has been sort of a tricky proposition. He's a tough player to get a hold of. I feel like I have been covering him for the last decade. I wrote about him when he was Mississippi State starting quarterback.
I forgot about that.
Right, in a K-State preview in what seems like a lifetime ago. I don't know if any of y'all remember that game, but he took one of the hardest hits I've ever seen quarterback take and get up from to end that game. If you haven't seen it, look it up. I would go Garrett Schrader helicopter on YouTube because the man was sent into orbit and did not quite get the first down. But that is one thing about Schrader's game, man. He is a tough, tough quarterback.
He doesn't shy away from contact.
No, he runs like a tight end, and he's not somebody that looks to slide. He looks to lower his shoulder and lay a safety down. If one gets in the way. And that is a little concerning for me with this Purdue defense. Tackling has been an issue, especially in the secondary. And Schrader's a tough dude to tackle. He's one of those quarterbacks with real strong legs that doesn't go down on first contact. If you try to arm tackle him, he's going to make you look silly. And I've seen, especially out of the secondary, a lot of arm tackles. So Schrader's really the first, I would say, true dual threat that Purdue's faced this year. You got a little bit out of Fresno and Mikey Keene. You got a little bit out of Grant Wells before he got injured. You saw drones come in for Virginia Tech for that final drive of the game and have a nice run. Where he did manage to truck. I can't even remember who he trucked to get out of bounds. But that's going to be a bit of a change-up for the Boilermaker defense this week. He's a quarterback you can't lose contain on. We were terrible at holding the edge against Fresno. It was much, much better against Virginia Tech. The coaching staff added some more twists and outside stunts that allowed the defensive ends to sort of get wider while the outside linebackers had a more of a direct line to the quarterback. I expect to see a little bit more of that, but Purdue's got to be really cognizant of their rush lanes in this game. Because if you get Garrett Schrader out on the perimeter, he's not an elusive guy. He's not Kyler Murray. He's not Gianni Manziel. But he is almost like Hudson Card in a way. I'd say a more physical version of Card, where he's a big athletic guy who runs fast in a straight line and doesn't tend to deviate from that path regardless of who's in his way. He's also a guy that likes to play outside the pocket. Now, in his first two games, he's looked nice inside, but as Garrett and I are going to talk about in a minute, they haven't played anybody, and he's been able to sort of sit in the pocket and just pick out receivers. But over the last 2 years, and from what I've seen of him, he's a guy that's more comfortable on the run. He can get outside, break, contain, buy his receivers some time, and then put the defense in a bind where they have to decide if they're going to come up and stop the run, or if they are going to stick with their receivers and have Schrader turn it upfield and maybe pick up a long QB run. Purdue likes to play a lot of man. That tends to be tough dealing with mobile quarterbacks, because if you're chasing somebody down the field, especially in the defensive backs, you're not looking at the quarterback. And so Schrader getting to the edge could be trouble, especially in that first game against Fresno, when Mikey Keene extended the play and saw Purdue defensive backs a lot of times in man, but then sort of peeked back at Keene, and by the time they turned around, the receiver was gone, headed down the field. So Garrett Schrader is the guy to know. He's going to run a lot of zone read. They haven't run much out of that from the quarterback position this year because they haven't had to, and I'm assuming they're saving some hits on their starting quarterback. But I expect more of it in this game because it's winning time for Syracuse and Dino Babers. And with winning time, that means Schrader's going to strap on that chin strap, and he's going to go out and run the ball a little bit more and try to extend drives that way.
Yeah, and as we were talking, when talking about Virginia Tech, I mean, the whole Hudson Card can run, but should he? Because there's nobody really behind him in the quarterback room. Syracuse doesn't have that problem because, and I think that might be why they're allowing Schrader to run sort of, I don't want to say recklessly, but with a certain degree of reckless abandon. But he's a big, tough guy, 6'4", 230. He can take that contact. But the quarterback behind him, the Florida transfer, Carlos Del Rio Wilson, I know a good bit about him because he went to one of my rival high schools. And if you don't know anything about McEachern High School, you just need to know that they have a 13,000-person stadium. They are a football factory. They pump out NFL players all the time. And then he transferred to Cartersville High School, about 20 minutes north of where I grew up, which is, of course, the high school that pumped out Drew's boy, Trevor Lawrence.
T-Law, baby.
Everybody loves some T-Law. I looked like a knockoff T-Law when I had long hair in college, but we don't talk about that anymore.
Well, sometimes we do talk about it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, no, at one point, all the hair on my body was on my head and not on my upper lip. But yeah, so I think they might be more comfortable running with Schrader just because they know that there's a solid option behind him. Like, Carlos Del Rio Wilson would be starting at a lot of ACC or Big Ten schools. And that's got to factor into the game plan because he doesn't have the same cannon of an arm and he's not quite as mobile as Schrader. But, you know, if you have somebody who's very capable of doing their job right behind your quarterback who doesn't shy away from contact, you're going to let that quarterback be able to do his thing a little bit more.
Exactly. And that's, like I said, you haven't seen a ton of the Schrader keep and sort of the recklessness, although a couple times in the Western Michigan game, he just straight up lowered his, he was out, and I was like, all right, he's going to get down, and he just straight up lowered his shoulder and ran somebody over. And so I would not be surprised to see Del Rio in this game at some point. He has played in both of their games already. I think he basically took over at halftime, went 5-9 for 57 yards against Western Michigan in just a sort of a blowout. He's not quite as mobile, but he's maybe, I would say, more of the traditional quarterback. Garrett, would you say that?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because you look at him and he's a similar size in terms of weight distribution, but Schrader certainly has better legs on him. and has a little bit more of an arm. That being said, he is a very, very serviceable backup and, again, would be starting at plenty of schools.
Right. Now, speaking of backups, that's probably a good segue into the big question mark coming into the game. And, again, if you read my office preview, you've already seen this, but Orande Gadsden, the first-team All-ACC tight end coming into the year, was injured on basically, I think it was Syracuse's second play of the game against Western Michigan. They play on that god-awful turf in the dome, just like a shag carpet stretched over like a concrete pad. It's I've seen so many players get hurt on that turf, and Gadsden, it didn't look anything too bad. He just got like his foot caught up, and he left the game and was on crutches by halftime. Dino Babers hasn't been able to give any sort of injury update on him this week, but if he's not able to go, that really shifts things, I think, in terms of this matchup. He's really their dude. He's their playmaker. He's their best player. He's going to be an NFL player, probably an early to mid-round draft pick when he decides to come out. He's a former wide receiver that is bulked up.
He just got big.
Yeah, he got big, and they were like, well, we're gonna play him on the outside or at tight end. But they do so much stuff with him to flex him out. And if he is missing, that is a huge part of their playbook. That's I'm going to guarantee that like a quarter of their playbook is like how to get Orande Gadsden the ball.
I'd say that's a conservative estimate.
Probably a conservative estimate. And I just don't see anybody capable on their roster of stepping in and sort of being that guy. However, they do have some massive receivers on the outside. This is the biggest one of the bigger receiving cores I've seen recently. They've got Damian Alford on the outside, 6'6", 210. And he's going to be their boundary receiver. They've got Isaiah Jones on the outside, 6'4", 200. Even their slot receiver receivers are big. They go 6'1", 6'2". Across the board, really. And then they've got sophomore Umari Hatcher, who leads the team in receptions this year. Another guy is 6'3". So they have pretty much the like opposite of what Purdue has in receivers, where Purdue mostly has slot guys like Burks and Sheffield. Syracuse features just big guys on the outside that can go up and get the ball. And so... In one way, that's tough to cover. You can see a lot of back shoulder throws, fades. But on the positive side, they don't have that super slippery slot receiver that Purdue has yet to figure out how to deal with. And so I think we're probably a little more attuned to stopping sort of the larger receivers on the outside than the... shifty guys over the middle. So hopefully Purdue has a plan. I'm sure they will. They'll have a plan of how to deal with the physical presence on the outside.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that Purdue's probably a little bit more equipped to handle, big sideline tiptoe type catch receivers. As we saw plenty of that in Western Michigan, where Garrett Schrader would roll out and throw it toward the sideline, and I looked up Western Michigan's roster. It's not like their secondary is that small, but I kept looking, and I'm like, God, these guys, like, they are dwarfing these corners and safeties. They're just big. They're very, very large and very good at catching the ball, and I do think that's going to dictate Syracuse's offense to be more throwing toward the sideline than it is over the middle, and with Purdue's secondary having some issues tackling, I think that's probably a better fit for Purdue to succeed there.
Exactly. And I will say, though, that while we're going to talk up their wide receivers and Garrett Schrader, Syracuse's big issue is their offensive line. They lost, from what I can tell, in the same game, their starting right tackle, David Wolbaugh. Another guy got twisted up in that awful turf And did you see, by the way, where, like, the NFL Players Association is basically demanding that everybody get rid of...
Post-Aaron Rodgers thing?
...of the turf. Yeah. And so anyways, a little late for Syracuse.
I always hated playing on turf.
I hate playing on turf. It's gross. Even that new field turf stuff with the pellets, I don't think any of y'all have played on it. They just, like, get in, like, every crack and crevice of your body.
All in your shoes, and then you slide, and you have a big old rash on your knee for 2.5 weeks. It's great.
Yeah, and it just doesn't feel right under your feet, and it really catches your feet up. So, anyways, they lost Wolbaugh to an injury, and much like Gadsden, there hasn't been any update. He is... Sounds like, from what I've been hearing on the Syracuse side, it sounds like he's definitely out. I think Gadsden has a chance to play, but I don't think he will be at 100%.
Yeah, he'd be limited for sure.
But man, even Western Michigan was able to sort of get after the Syracuse quarterback. It's a good thing that Schrader's big and athletic, because he's taken some hits this year against teams that you wouldn't really think could get to him. And so... Purdue's strength is getting after the quarterback and getting hits on him. Nick Scorton and Kydren Jenkins, I don't know if y'all saw, PFF has Jenkins as, like, in the top 10 in terms of, like, QB pressures in the nation through the first two games. And so that's really where I think Purdue can sort of keep Syracuse from really attacking hard down the field by just harassing Schrader every time he drops back. And the good thing about forcing him out of the pocket and making him roll one way or the other is that he doesn't have the arm. Most people don't. Most people aren't Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, where he can just stop and attack the other side of the field. If you can get him out of the pocket, that cuts the field in half, basically, and makes the job of the secondary a lot easier. And if they want to attack deep down the field with their big guys, it's going to be tougher. They're going to need some time, and they haven't got it so far. I was just looking. Western Michigan had 6 tackles for loss, a couple sacks, I think a couple more, what I would consider quarterback pressures. And guys, Western Michigan is bad. They have a new coach. They're breaking in some new players. This isn't one of those Western Michigan team that are going to jump up and bite anybody.
I mean, their first game of the year was a win. So they came into the Syracuse game 1-0, but that win was 35-17 over St. Francis.
Yeah.
Football powerhouse St. Francis.
And so, like I said, just the fact that they got those 2 sacks and hit Schrader a lot, that's where I think this Purdue defense can really excel. And one thing I do know about Schrader, ever watching him for the last decade, is that he's going to try to make plays.
He can sometimes overcommit to trying to make those plays, one might argue.
That is really where I'm sort of going with that. Thanks, Garrett. Yeah, he's going to try to make a play, even if a play isn't there, especially if he gets frustrated. So Purdue can be that sort of defense that just gets the hit and keeps him in the pocket. And then he has a tendency to start forcing things. You know, it's his 5th year. Maybe he's got that flushed out of his system with his offense and his offensive coordinator. He hasn't really put many balls in jeopardy so far this year. But, again, there hasn't really been much of a need to.
Yeah, Purdue's the first, like, real team he's going to see thus far.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Colgate and Western Michigan, like... If you look at just the raw stats coming into this game, Syracuse is in the top 5 in the nation in offense and defense,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
So we have, Garrett and I were talking, we have no idea how good they are. They've looked good, but they haven't played anybody. And both of those games have been in the dome. And that's just such a weird place to play football. A lot of teams struggle there. And I mean, let's be honest, Colgate and Western Michigan are going to struggle anywhere. But they've had real sort of comfortable games, and are going to sort of get their first actual test. Meanwhile, Purdue comes in pretty battle-hardened after, you know, that dropping a close one to Fresno and that weird game last week against Virginia Tech. I like that in Purdue's favor, as they know what it feels like to get punched in the face this year, and Syracuse has yet to even have somebody take a swing at them. That's one place where I think Purdue has a serious advantage. I'm going to toss it over to Garrett and let him sort of take the lead here for a minute while he's going to talk about the Syracuse's 3-3-5 stack defense under Rocky Long.
Yeah, so Rocky Long, if you're not familiar with the name, he's been coaching football forever. I think he's got to be like 73, 74 years old at this point. He's one of the pioneers of like that 3-3-5 where they use a rover. And, you know, that's part of why Dino Babers sought him out. He kind of wanted to incorporate more of that spaced out defense. So the thing with their secondary is that they don't really rotate them a lot. They do have very good cover corners. Number 14, Wilson. What's his first name? Number 14.
Jeremiah
Wilson.
There we go.
Yeah, that's a cool name. So Jeremiah Wilson, he stuck out to me the first two games. And yes, Drew and I sat through the 65-0 destruction of Colgate because we were bored.
And I honestly didn't realize that that was the game wasn't live until about halfway through the third quarter, where Garrett went, wait, they played this 3 days ago. Okay.
Yeah, no, it took us both a minute to figure that out. I never claimed to be the smartest person on earth. But yeah, I mean, their secondary, they don't really rotate guys too much. They kind of stick with that core group. But their front six is like defense by committee. They rotate those guys a lot. And if you were to look at the depth chart, I think it would be kind of misleading. Because a lot of those guys might be listed as one and two, but really they're like 1A, 1B. One guy, I am kind of impressed with their defensive line. And one guy who gave Purdue fits last year, who we all remember as the little bowling ball, Kevin Darton, number 00. Double zeros is 5'10", 275 pounds. And that's difficult to go against if that guy can move well, because he's got such a low friggin' center of gravity.
It's like trying to block a fire hydrant. He's not going anywhere. He's not going backwards, at least. You can't get under him. I just remember breaking that down a couple plays from the Syracuse game where Purdue couldn't score on the goal line. It was just because Kevin Darton was just like crawling underneath the Purdue offensive line and Purdue could not move him. Like Garrett's saying, I thought Darton as well is just, he's a fun, tough little dude in the middle. And I'd say little, 270 pounds, he could probably break me in half and suck out my insides like a chicken bone. So, Darton, big issue.
Darton's going to be a big issue, and then also their linebacker core, which is led by Leon Lowry, you know, right behind him is Stephon Thompson, and Stephon Thompson himself could be starting at multiple schools. And the real only issue I saw from their defense in Western Michigan was the third play of the game, if you include the kickoff. Western Michigan had a 75-yard touchdown run where it was kind of just like a draw up the middle. It's the only example of that game where I saw poor tackling from Syracuse. So I know they haven't really played anybody, but until proven otherwise, we're going to go ahead and put the stamp of approval of them being a good tackling team. But, I mean, again, like, if Maccabee can slip out of that, Maccabee is, like, the first real running back they're going to see all year. So, again, we just really don't know much about Syracuse given their competition.
Yeah, and that was a weird Western Michigan game where you kind of, like, you got that big play from them to start the game, and you're kind of like, oh, this might be interesting. And then they just poured it on. 17 points in the first quarter, 28 points in the second quarter, and then, you know, they coasted to victory 48-7. But yeah, that first play, the Western Michigan back just broke it and was gone. And I, one thing I will say is that I was surprised that the safeties didn't run him down. I don't know, maybe he's a real fast dude, but they didn't even really seem to close on him much. So, you know, that could be one spot where Maccabee, if he can get out there and get in the open field, slip a tackle, he might find some pay dirt.
Yeah, it's just it's weird that you said, like, on that play, the safeties almost seemed disinterested at the end of that really long run. It almost seemed like, all right, well, we know we're going to win this game anyway. Let's give them one right now. It was kind of weird. But again, after that, the defense tightened up. I didn't see any real issues tackling on Syracuse's part. But yeah, it's really just going to come down to, hey, you're playing an actual team with actual four-star recruits now. How are you going to adapt offensively?
Right. And definitely one thing that I think is going to help Purdue is Hudson Carr's mobility, that 3-3-5 with the Rover. Syracuse likes to bring some weird pressure off of it. So they're usually going to bring four from what I've seen. But that fourth guy is going to come from different spots.
Yeah, they're never going to show you the same guy applying the pressure. It's going to be one of their outside linebackers, again, by committee.
Or I've seen them even bring corners off the edge and then buzz out that Rover player into coverage. So what the 3-3-5 is good at is bringing pressure from odd places. So Card is going to be apt to make some pre-snap adjustments to make sure he's got everybody blocked up. And he's going to need to be mobile because there are going to be some... I mean, Purdue's had a leaky offensive line already to start the season. That may continue to improve with Harwick coming back potentially this week. And then it was better last game with Kaltenberger in its center. They're going to have to be on their game, both physically and mentally, because this 3-3-5 is going to send guys from places you don't normally see them coming from. The good news is that if you can break that initial tackle, and Hudson Card can, a lot of times a big play is behind that. I watched Clemson play as 3-3-5 for a while. Brent Venables went to Iowa State and took it when we ran out of defensive tackles one year. You know, it took it to the college football playoffs with it. That was one thing that I even with Clemson back in the day when they had all of their studs, if a mobile quarterback got outside on that 3-3-5, there were plays to be made down the field because of the sort of aggressive style of the defense. So again, some place where I think Purdue has a chance to sort of get after that untested Syracuse defense. Garrett, do you have anything else to add to the cause?
Well, I mean, like you were just saying, the 3-3-5 is really good for keeping a defense on their, or sorry, keeping an offense on their toes. Again, sending pressure from places you wouldn't normally see it. But I have called this type of defense a feast or famine defense before, because there are those big plays that can kind of arise should somebody break contain, get out of the pocket, slip away, blah, blah, blah. And especially with Hudson Card being able to do that, dude, if you can get one wide receiver to lose his coverage and just get lost somewhere in the middle, there are plenty of big plays to be made, especially some big yards after the catch as well.
Yeah, no, totally agree. I've seen it, feast or famine. Card's gonna take some hits in this game, but I think he's more than capable of standing in and delivering both from the pocket and on the move. Like Garrett said, they look like they're a decent tackling team. They haven't had to tackle anybody, so I don't know what that really means for Maccabee, I think we'll probably see him sort of also try to slip outside maybe on occasion and get outside of that 4 or 5 man rush that Syracuse is going to bring and see if he can't find some open space in the swing pass and screen game where Purdue can maybe get him matched up on a safety or a defensive back and let him do his crazy legs thing.
Yeah, I kind of see this as a game where Mockaby is going to start off slow, but just kind of keep wearing down the defense, and he's going to, like, bust a big one late. Or, like, you know, like you said, a swing pass, and there's nobody there, and he's out in the flats, and he just takes it a good chunk of yards, maybe 20, 25 yards. I think Syracuse's defense is going to be more gas than they're used to, certainly from their first two games, at some point in the third, early fourth quarter. But beyond that, I mean, we just haven't seen them play anybody with actual good players. Sorry to Colgate and Western Michigan, but this is obviously Syracuse's first real test as a defense. You got a bunch of guys who are very capable of putting, getting the ball into space, and we're just gonna find out how good Syracuse actually is this week.
All right, Garrett, how do you see this game playing out? You were on the Virginia Tech side of the ledger last week.
I didn't know there was going to be a six-hour rain delay, bro.
That's fair. Doesn't sound like an excuse, but okay.
Meteorologist Drew did correctly predict that game was going to see some bad rain.
That's right. And so what do you think about this one?
I think Purdue's going to grind this one out late. Again, I think since it is Syracuse's first real test, and then especially they don't rotate their secondary too much, if Hudson Card can extend plays, he's going to wear those guys down at some point. And I'm looking for more of an up-tempo type thing in that in this scenario, which I'm creating for myself in my head, and I choose to manifest into existence. Another thing I do want to point out is that Syracuse's place kicker is good, but he's playing in a dome all year, man. This is his first game of the season. Like, I know kickers get better, and this isn't his first year. He's a sophomore now. But kickers get better over the year, but when was the last time he kicked outside?
Certainly has not done it yet this year. So, you know, we got that 7:30 kick, maybe a little wind blowing through Rossade, make everybody cool off everybody a little bit and make the kicker a little nervous. And I do feel like Garrett said, I think this is a game that's like going to be most Purdue games. It's going to be a toss-up. It's going to come down to who makes plays in the fourth quarter, who can avoid the big blow-up turnover. And I like Purdue in this one, something like 27, 24, 31, 27... Something around, I think the points are going to be scored by both sides. I think I would probably take Syracuse with a healthy Ronde Gadsden, because, boy, he destroyed Purdue last year. Over 100 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns. They like to play him in the slot, and an All-American tight end coming out of the slot is maybe Purdue's worst nightmare.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
So the fact that they don't have to deal with that, or at least won't have to deal with a full-strength Aronde Gadsden, I think pushes the win over to the Purdue column of things.
Yeah, I'm there as well. I'm going to say similar scoreline, and I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that a Syracuse missed kick has a big impact on the final score of this game, and I'm going to say Purdue 34, Syracuse 31.
I like it. Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us today. I hope you enjoyed your last half hour of football knowledge from the Boiler Up Down South crew.
That spells buds. Do you guys get it?
Buds, because we're friends. Anyways, I'm Drew, and this is Garrett, and, you know, signing off from Athens, Georgia. Hopefully we will be back on Tuesday to talk about Purdue's big win. So,
yeah, I think we'll be talking about a win on Tuesday. And don't get confused with the Garrett SHs here. Garrett Schrader is the one you should be focused on this week. Not me. Not Garrett Shearman.
Folks, all Garretts aren't related. I had to be apprised of this earlier in the week. I assumed that Garrett and the Syracuse quarterback were kin, but apparently that is not true. So anyways, we're just going to go ahead and let y'all go. Have a nice day. If you're going to the game, 7:30 kick under the lights should be fun. Make sure if you can get there,
Y'all come back now, you hear?